All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So we left off, today's daf is Chav Tes, 29. We are picking up on Chav Chesamad Beis, 28b, Ha Nami Mi Boile. It's the second to last short line. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up from the bottom. So we'll say, so remember again, just reorient ourselves a little bit. We had a fascinating Mishnah at the end of Chav Chesamad Aleph in yesterday's daf, that if a woman miscarries, she expels a tumtum and androgynous. So remember again, what's the halacha? So the halacha is teishev lezachar ulenekeva. She goes in and observes the yimei tuma and yimei tara, ultimately again, for zachar and nekeva. So we'll say, so if you remember again, we then got into the interesting discussion about a tumtum and androgynous who went ahead and saw Lavan o Adam, that either a white emission or a red emission. So if it was either or, so the Gemara said in that circumstance, the halacha is, you're not chayiv for bias mikdash, and ultimately again, we would not burn truma that they touched. If, however, again, the tumtum or androgynous saw both Lavan and Adam, saw both red and white emission, so we'll say, what's the halacha? Do not chayiv for bias mikdash, but if they were to touch truma, ultimately we would burn the truma under those circumstances. So why is that, Rabbi Say? So what? Why is it that they're not chayiv for bias mikdash? So the Gemara made the drasha of mizachar va'ad nekeva. The Rabbi Say, ultimately, again, since the pasuk by bias mikdash says mizachar va'ad nekeva, teaches me that it is only a zachar vaday or a nekeva vadois, ultimately, again, who go ahead and are chayv for bias mikdash, but a tumtum and androgynous who are not zachar vaday or nekeva vadois, therefore will not be chayv. The Gemara then quoted the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Second possibility, and maybe the issue over here is what? Maybe the issue with Rabbi Eliezer is that you're only chayiv if you know the definitive source of your tumah. But because in this case over here, the definitive source of the tumah is unknown, therefore halacha lemaisa, the tumtum or androgynous will not be chayiv. So we'll say, let's pick up with that. So he kind of left off in the middle of the drashas. Hai nami, to which the Gemara says, this drasha of zachar nekeva, mi barile, is also needed for a different drasha, but mi sheyesh lo tara b'mikva. So we'll say, comes to teaching that what? That halacha lemaisa, only with someone who has tara in a mikvah. So we'll say, la fuke what? Prat le klicheres. So we'll say, to teach me ultimately again to exclude the klicheres, that even if a klicheres becomes tame, halacha lemaisa, there is no obligation to go ahead and remove it from the mikdash. Tiv Rabbi Yossi. Imkin, niftov rachmana adam. If that's the case, then let the pasuk just say adam. V'chitema ikasav rachmana adam. And you might have thought as follows, if it just said adam, havamina klima tachos lo, you might have thought that again, this doesn't apply to metal utensils. That Allah lemaisa, if a metal utensil is tame and brought accidentally into the Beis HaMikdash, that Allah lemaisa, you don't have to remove it. Therefore, again, we call tame lenefesh nafka. From that, I will learn from call tame lenefesh zachar unekeva lamali. So we'll say, if that's the case, then what do I need zachar and nekeva for? L'chidrav. Ultimately, again, for the drasha of Rav, as we saw before. Ve'ima kulei l'chidrav hudasa. So say that the entire drasha comes for Rav. Imki nichtov zachar unekeva. Let it just say zachar unekeva. We'll say this was Rabbi Lichterman's question after Shir yesterday. Mai mi zachar v'ad nekeva. Why do you have to have that prolonged verbiage of zachar ad nekeva? So the Gemara says, mai mi zachar v'ad nekeva. Ad called davar sheish lo tara b'mikva. Because we'll say, interestingly enough, see, the challenging part of mizachar v'ad nekeva sounds like it's doing what? It's creating like a continuum, like almost like a gender continuum. But obviously that cannot be true. There is no gender continuum in halacha. There's zachar unekeva. So, but yet, why? So just say zachar nekeva. Why say zachar ad nekeva? Oh, so we'll say to include other things ultimately again in the halachos of tum and tara that are non-gender based. What are the things that are also included in tum and tara that are non-gender based? Anything that has tara in a mikvah. So it's actually a very interesting halacha that you're suggesting. That there's a halacha that says you can't come into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah, right? And if you came into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah, obviously you have to leave. You have to leave as quickly as possible. That doesn't only apply to people. That also could apply to things. Which type of things? Only things that are like people. Which type of things are like people? Just like people have tara in a mikvah, so do the types of things that have tara in a mikvah are subject to the halachos of bias mikdash. What are the types of things that have tara in a mikvah? Utensils. What type of utensils? Metal utensils. What type of utensils do not fit this criteria? Earthenware utensils. So for example, if you were to accidentally bring a tummy metal utensil into the Beis HaMikdash, the halacha would be that what? You'd be obligated to remove it as quickly as possible. Ihachi ki itmi b'shar tumas lo lishluchu. If that's the case in halacha l'maisa, when the tumtum and androgynous become tummy with other forms of tumra, let's say forget about Adam and Lavan. What happens if the tumtum and androgynous comes in contact with a corpse or comes in contact with a sheretz? So halacha l'maisa, they shouldn't be obligated to leave the Beis HaMikdash as well. But we know that's not true. Amrikra mizachar mituma poreshes minazachar. Because we'll say ultimately again, this particular halacha that you're not obligated in bias mikdash dafka refers to the type of tuma that is gender related tuma. What's the tuma that's gender related tuma? For men, it's a seminal emission, and for women, it's either a nida or a zava emission. But for other types of tuma, interestingly enough, a tumtum and androgynous will be subject to. So if a tumtum and androgynous goes ahead and touches a corpse and then enters into the Beis HaMikdash, they are chayiv for bias mikdash. It's just unique over here, this type of tumah, which is a gender-related tumah, that they're not subject to. Are you telling me that whenever the pasuk says, mizachar v'ad nekeva, that ultimately it comes to exclude tumtum and androgynous? I have a hug by Erchin Dichsiv. But yet by Erchin it says Hazochar. So we'll say, remember again, by Erchin, which is personal valuations, right? A person makes an Erech vow. So what's halacha with an Erech vow? So we'll say there are objective valuations. A man between so and so ages is worth X. A woman between so and so ages is worth Y. So yet it says Zochar. So you tell me then that it doesn't apply to tumtum and androgynous? To which the Gemara says, Vitanya, Vatanya, Zachar velo, Hazachar velo tumtum, Vandrogenous, Locho, Yocho, lo yehe be'erech ish, Ava yebe erech ish. So I might have thought that a tumtum maybe is not valued as a man, but will be valued as a woman. Talmud Lomar, Hazachar, Vim Nikeva. Zachar vadai, Nikeva vadas, velo tumtum vandrogenous. So we'll say, therefore, the pasuk says Hazachar and im nekeva, to teach you that the halachos of erech vows only apply to a zachar nekeva, not to tumtum and androgynous. So, but the reason for that taima, tichsev hazachar ve'im nekeva. There was this very specific wording over here. It says hazachar, the male, ve'im nekeva, and if she's a male, hai mizachar unekeva, lo memait. There was this possible what is the formulation of zachar unekeva, that you not exclude tumtum and androgynous from erech vows. Which Gemara says, no. Hahomi baile. I'm supposed to say the truth is, ultimately, again, I need Zachar Unikeva. Why? Top of Chavtes. Lechalik ben Erech Ish le Erech Isha. I'm supposed to say the phrase Zachar Unikeva teaches me on a very basic level that there is a fundamental distinction, ultimately, again, between the Erech values of men and women. So interestingly enough, bottom line, halacha lemaisa, what comes out of this Gemara is as follows, a fascinating halacha by tumtum and androgynous. Namely, that the Rambam actually codifies these halachas, halacha lemaisa, that if you have a tumtum and androgynous that had either a red or white emission, halacha lemaisa, they're not chayiv for bias mikdash, and they're not, and if they touch truma, the truma is not tamea. Now we pointed out it's not tamea, but you would say tolin to that truma. However, if the tumtum and androgynous has both a red and white emission, under those circumstances, they still will not be chay for bias mikdash, but truma will be burned. Truma will be burned because definitively they're tamei. Bias mikdash they will not be chay for, either for one of the two reasons we espoused, either because of the phrase of mizachar vad nekeva, zachar vad nekeva vadais, or Rabbi Eliezer, that in order to be chay for bias mikdash, you must know the definitive source of your tuma. Good. Yatsa mechuta chamusras. What's the next part of the Mishnah? So the Mishnah said that if a woman expelled the fetus, and the fetus came out mukhutach. Mukhutach means in pieces or mesuras, breach, feet first. So under those circumstances, Rabbi say, at what point in time does she become tame with tumas leida, mishayatza rubo? When the majority of the baby comes out, that's when it's considered to be a leida. Rabbi say, this is different as opposed to yatza kidarko, if she delivers naturally, the moment that the majority of the head comes out, that's considered a birth. The majority of the head, the Mishnah defines as emergence of the forehead. Once the forehead removes, that's considered to be a leda. So we'll say, it's a fundamental distinction as to when a woman becomes tamei tumas leda. Again, one more time. If she's expelling the fetus in pieces, or the fetus is coming out feet first, the halacha is the same. The majority of the body of the fetus must come out for her to be tamei tumas leda. If it's a natural birth, majority of the head, i.e. emergence of the forehead. Says the Gemara, Amar Belazar, Afilu Haroshiman. So it's actually very interesting. In the case of Mechutach, where the fetus is coming out in pieces, so we'll say, what happens if amongst the pieces is the head? So Rabbi Lazar says, even the head, right? In other words, that halacha lemaisa, once the fetus is coming out in pieces, the head is no longer significant, right? The head is like any other part of the body. So I will say, even if she expels the head, halacha lemaisa, she'll only be tamei tumas leida, if what? If the majority of the body comes out. Rabbi Yochanan amar lo shana ela shein arosh imayin. Avali rosh imayin arosh poter. So we'll say, something changes it over here. Harihu ki yolud. So we'll say, so Rabbi Yochanan says, no. The head is always significant. And even halacha lemaisa, when the Mishnah said that if she's expelling the fetus in pieces, she's only tummy if the majority of the body comes out. That assumes the head is not coming out. Once the head comes out, the fetus is considered to have been birthed. So we'll say it's a fundamental machlokes about the role of the head in a situation where the fetus is coming out in pieces. So later, but the Shmuel come with the game. So we'll say ultimately again, say that they're arguing in Shita Shmuel. Damer Shmuel in Harosh Poter Ben Afalim, because Rosh Shmuel says as follows. We'll say, take a look at Rashi. In Harosh Poter Ben Afalim, Yotze Rosh Hanefel Kigon Yoleves Tomu Meshiva, Echa Nigmaraturaso, Echa Lo Nigmaraturaso, the Yotze Rosh Hanefel Vechziro, Vachakach Yotze Achim, including Rashi, Havi Bechor Lekoim, Shin Rosh Hanefel Poter Asaba Achra Minabachora. So we'll listen to this. Shmuel says as follows. Let's give the following situation. A woman is carrying twins. One of the fetuses died in utero. Right? So what happens? Now she's giving birth. The head of the deceased fetus comes out first and then comes back in. Then the living baby is born. So we'll say, so what's the status now? So obviously the shaila is the living baby the bechor or not? So Shmuel says that halacha lemaisa, when it comes to a non-viable fetus, even if the head of the deceased fetus comes out, that's not called a birth. That's not called a birth. And therefore, the second viable baby, ultimately, again, will be the bechor. So what do you see from here? What is Shmuel essentially saying? That the birthing of the head is only significant in a viable fetus. But halacha lemaisa, again, where the fetus is not viable, the birthing of the head is no different than the birthing of the rest of the body. And by a non-viable fetus, it's only if the majority of the body is born, or is expelled, that halacha lemaisa, the baby is considered to have been birthed. To which the Gemara says, B'shalim, if the fetus is coming out intact, the kuli amalo pligi. So the Gemara suggests something very interesting. If the baby is intact, everyone agrees. Ki pligi b'mechutoch. When do they argue? When the fetus is coming out in pieces. Demar savar b'shalim hu dekachashiv. So because one opinion holds, it's only when the fetus is intact that the birth of the head is significant. B'mechutoch, but if it's coming out in pieces, then halacha lemaisa lo kachashiv. Ultimately, again, once it's coming out in pieces, Rabbi Osai, the head is no different than the arm. And therefore, the halacha is, what do you need in order for the baby to be considered birthed? The majority of the body. The other opinion says, no. Even when the baby is coming out in pieces, halacha lemaisa, the birth of the head is still significant and creates the metzius of being birthed. Lishnach, you know, another version of this, the reason why we're saying this is because the baby came out in pieces, omasuras, hakitikno, but if the baby was coming out in the normal fashion, harosh poter. Ultimately, again, the head exempts. And tarvayu, less lehu dishmuel. And Rabbi, according to this version, both opinions, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, neither would hold of Shmuel. The Gemara says, Damar Shmuel, ein harosh poter ben afalim. Because Shmuel in general says, the head does not go ahead and create a metzius of birth in a non-viable fetus. So I just want to point out, Shita Shmuel is, even if the fetus is intact, right, the birth of the Shmuel holds that a deceased fetus is only considered birthed when the majority of the body comes out. The head is irrelevant in a deceased fetus because it's no different than anything else. That's Shmuel's Shita. So the Gemara says, "Ika demasi lahashmaisa saba an pein afshe." So we'll say others explain this machlokis independently. They say as follows: The Amr Abelazer, Rabbi Elazar says as follows, Ein harosh kirov evarim. Rabbi Elazar says the head is not like the majority of the limbs. Now, both say what that means is as follows: that in this, if you look at Rashi, in Rosh Kirov Evarim, Yatzar Rosh Eino Ki Yalod Ubenefal Kai Diben Kaim Adak. So, also listen to this. So according to this version, the same idea as we said before. But Rabbi Loza says that in a fetus, that in a non-viable fetus, the birth of the head is not like the birth of the majority of the body. And the birth of the head will just be like the birth of any other limb. And when the fetus is not alive, the only time she becomes tamei tumas leida is when she expels the majority of the baby. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Harosh Kirov Evarim. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, not true. Halacha lemaisa, the rosh, the head, even of a deceased fetus, is the equivalent of having birthed the majority of the body. So Rabbi Yochanan holds that halacha l'maisa, the head coming out is significant, both by a living baby as well as by a deceased one. V'kamif l'gi b'deshmuel. And ultimately, again, they're arguing in Shita Shmuel. Tanan, so we'll say yotza mechuta, so we'll say let's analyze this. So here's the yesodistic machlokis. Here's what we know. Shmuel says, that the emergence of the head of a nephil means a deceased fetus, right? The emergence of the head is irrelevant. The halacha of a fetus is always the same, which is, in order for the deceased fetus to have considered to have been birthed, what has to happen? Majority of the body has to come out. That's Shita Shmuel. So apparently, Rabbi Yochanan arguing in Shmuel, but Elazar says the head is not significant by a nephil, only the majority of the body. Rabbi Yochanan says no, the birthing of the head is always significant, and even by a nephil, once the head comes out, the baby is considered birthed, and she is tamei tumas leida. So let's analyze. Says the Gemara Tanan, yatsa b'chotach musuras. If the baby comes out, Mishnah says the baby comes out in pieces or feet first. Ultimately, again, once the majority of the baby comes out, it is considered to have been birthed. So, midikamar mesuras, I'm going to say the fact that it's, now remember, the Mishnah lumps together the cases of breech, right, the cases of feet first, and mechutach, and pieces. So the Gemara says, it's interesting that we're linking those two. So the Gemara says, midikamar mesuras, since it's including the case, ultimately, again, of feet first, Mechlal demechutach kitikno. So we'll say that sounds like, so we'll say the fact that it's bringing down both these cases, but the cases are different, sounds like the case of mesuras is feet first. What's the case of mechutach? What's the case of mechutach? Head first. Granted, it's pieces, but lamaisa is coming out head first. Now, we'll say, and we, what does the Mishnah say? Even though the baby is coming out head first, the Mishnah says what? That ultimately it's only when the majority of the baby comes out, that's when it's considered to be birthed. So you see over here that by a nephil, right, even if it's coming out head first, the birth of the head is not significant. You still need the robe of the body. To which the Gemara says, Kashil Rabbi Yochanan. This seems to pose a contradiction to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan will say, no. Ema, yatsa mechutach umesuras. So Rabbi Yochanan says, what's the case? Both say it's not either or, it's actually both. The case of the Mishnah is mechutach umesuras. It's coming out in pieces and feet first. So the Gemara says, that's not what the Mishnah says. Vaha o katani. It says o. O means, of course, either or. Hachigam, this is what it means to say. Yatza mechutach o shalim. If the fetus comes out in pieces or complete. Ze vze mesuras. Both are considered to be a case of mesuras. Mishiyatza ruba hare zeki yalud. Right? Ultimately, again, so therefore, again, the Mishnah could be saying that halacha lemaisa, whatever way the baby is coming out, it's coming out feet first, it's coming out head first, if it's coming out in pieces, halacha lemaisa, ultimately, again, only when the majority of the body comes out is it yalud. Amra papa, ketanai. Papa says, in fact, this is machlokes tanoim. Yatza mechutach mesuras. If the baby comes out in pieces or feet first, when the majority of the baby comes out, it's considered to be birthed. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishayatza Kitikno. Rabbi Yossi says, only when it comes out normally. My kamar, so what does that mean? Amar Papa HaKamar, is what it means to say. Here we go. Yatza Mechutach Umesuras. If the baby comes out Mechutach Umesuras, meaning in pieces or feet first, Mishayatza Rubo, Harehu Kiyalud. ultimately, again, when the majority of the body of the fetus emerges, ultimately it's considered as if it's birthed. Hakitikno, but I will say ultimately, again, if the baby comes out, quote unquote, normally, what does normally mean? Head first, harosh poter. Ultimately, again, once the head emerges, halach lamaisa, the baby is considered birth. Rabbi Yossi says no. Mishayatza rubo kitikno. Rabbi Yossi says it is only what? It is only halach lamaisa when the majority of the body comes out in the normal fashion. Maskev l'Rav Zivid, what does that mean? Michlal de b'mesuras rubo nami lo poter? Are you saying then that halacha lemaisa, that I will say, that is Rabbi Yossi saying that even for the halachos of rov, when it's coming out in pieces, that she's only tame if it comes out head first? The Gemara says, that doesn't make sense. Michlal de b'mesuras rubo nami lo poter? You're telling me that when the baby comes out, feet first, that once the majority of the body comes out, the baby's not considered birthed until the time, ultimately, until the head comes out? That doesn't make sense. Hakaimalon dirubo kekulo. I will say, everyone agrees that what? Everyone agrees, halacha lemaisa, that when the majority of the body of the fetus emerges, what's the halacha? The baby is birthed. Right? I will say, no one's arguing on that point, because that's rubo, right? That's just rov. That's in general a din of rov. The machlokas we're dealing with over here is what's the status of just the head by itself. Ela Amar Rav Zvid, rather Rav Zvid says this is what we're saying. Hachi kamar, yotza mechutach umusuras. Here we go. Baby comes out in pieces or feet first. Mishi yotza ruba harei zeki yalud. Once the majority of the baby's body, first wide line was like haftesam dalif. Once the majority of the baby comes out, it's considered to be birthed. Hachi tikno. What happens if the baby comes out? Kitikno. But say kitikno means in the normal fashion. What does it mean? Normal fashion. Head first, what's the halacha? Harosh poter. Ultimately, again, the emergence of the head, when we say poter, by the way, lashon poter, for these purposes means, because it's being quoted in the context of Bechar, poter means it would exempt the next baby from pidyon ben. But for our purposes, what that means is, once the head comes out, then halacha lemaisa, that's a leda, she's tamei tumas leda. Rabbi Yossi says no. So according to this approach, it sounds like what everybody's saying is like this. If the baby comes out feet first or in pieces, in order for the mother to be tamei tumas leda, the rov of the fetus has to come out. But if halacha lemaisa is coming out head first, then poter, the birth of the head is considered to be birth. Rabbi Yossi says no. Mishiyatsu kitikno lechayim. Ultimately, Rabbi Yossi says that's only when she is birthing what would be a viable fetus. Rashi says, Mishiyatsa kitikno lechayim hadrosh poter. Avamchutach, Rabbi Yossi, I want to be clear. Rabbi Yossi is not necessarily saying that the baby has to be alive. What he's saying, it has to be what could technically speaking be a viable fetus. To exclude what? To exclude mechutach. We'll say in the case of obviously the baby's coming out, the fetus coming out in pieces, that's not a viable birth. So we'll see, like this. I agree, essentially, that halacha lemaisa, the birth of the head, is considered to be birth when the fetus is whole. So we'll say in that case, again, whether the fetus is alive or not, the birth of the head ultimately, again, will be the birth. But if the fetus is coming out in pieces, once the fetus is in pieces, the head is no different than any other body part of the baby. And therefore, it's only once the majority of the fetus emerges from the mother that halacha lemaisa, the mother will be tamei tumas leitai. We have a brisa that supports this. Mechutach o mesuras. So we'll say, if the baby is mechutach or mesuras, mishi yatzaru bahare zekiyalut. So ultimately, again, when the majority of the baby's body comes out, is considered birthed. Hakitikno, but yet again, if the baby's coming out, not we'll call normally, i.e., head first, harosh poter, the emergence of the head, ultimately, again, is considered to be the birth. Rabbi Yossi says no. Mishiyatso kitikno lechayim, only when the baby is born in what we call a viable state, right? Which essentially means when the fetus is intact. Again, Rabbi Yossi is not requiring that the fetus be alive. What he's saying ultimately is that it emerges in a way where, technically speaking, this is quote-unquote a viable fetus. When is it a viable fetus? When it's intact. Vezo kitikno lechayim mishiyatza rov rosho. When the baby's body is intact and the majority of the head has emerged. Vezo rov rosho. And I will say, what is the majority of the head? Rabbi Yossi omer mishiyatza tzadav. Interestingly, Rabbi Yossi says, when the head has emerged to the point of the temples, right, to the point I was supposed to say, is a bit more than what? Is more than the forehead. right? More than the forehead. So the Gemara says, when the forehead comes out, others say when you begin to see that the literally just like crowning, right, the top of the carrying the horns of the head. So both say, so bottom line, Allah said we paskin. So we paskin ultimately again that the head itself, Rambam paskin, is that the head is kirov evarim, and ultimately again once the head comes out, leida is considered to have occurred. We do not paskin like Shmuel. Once the head emerges, ultimately, again, that baby is considered to be birthed, right? And halach lamaisa, again, anything that comes after it will not be a bechar. The mother will be tameh tumas leida. Good, says the Mishnah. We'll say, here we go. Hamapeles, we'll say, and the truth is, we've seen this case before, actually. Hamapeles ve'en yadua mahu. So let's listen to this. If a mother goes ahead, if the woman goes ahead and she miscarries, and she doesn't know what she miscarried. So we'll say, so in this case over here, she knows that she miscarried a fetus. She knows that she miscarried a baby. She doesn't know if halacha lemaisa it was male or female. So what's the halacha? Teishi lezachar nekeva. So we'll say, okay, we're already proficient in this case. We know. What do? We essentially give her the halachos as if she had both a boy and a girl. Which means for our purposes what? We give her the yimei tumah of a girl and the yimei tohar of a boy. Right? So halacha lemaisa, give her the longest yimei tumah, the shortest yimei tohar. So the Gemara says, what happens if she expels something and she's not sure? Was it a Vlad? Was it a baby? Was it something else? So the Gemara says, in that case, Teshev Lezachar Ulenekeva Ulenida. I will say, in that case, Halacha Lamaisa, she'll have to observe the halachos of childbirth and also the halachos of Nida. They both say, what does that effectively mean? That effectively means that halacha lemaisa, she gets no yimei tohar. That's what it means. Because this, if I remember, we'll say, yimei tohar is an incredible chiddush. An incredible chiddush. That a woman can have a period of time in which she's bleeding and yet the blood will be tar. That's an incredible chiddush that's only associated if you know there was a definitive birth. But if halacha lemaisa, she doesn't know there was a definitive birth, she'll get yimei tumah and not yimei tohar. Good. Says the Gemara, Shuv ben Levi. Avra narve pila. Let's listen to this case. A woman is crossing a river and she miscarries while in the river. Now, as a result, what happens? The river washes away whatever it is that she expelled. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Mevia carbon venecha. She brings a carbon, because again, she gave birth, and the carbon is consumed. Now, even though she doesn't know that it was a boy, it was a girl, so fine, we already saw what we do for Yimei Tumah, for Yimei Tohar, but halacha lemaisa, she observes the halachos of childbirth, including the bringing of a carbon yoledes and the consumption of that carbon. Why? Because halach achar rov nashim, v'rov nashim vlad ma'al yolad. And I will say, this is actually a fascinating statement. We go after the rov of women, and the majority of women give birth to babies, right? To fully formed babies. I will say, and I want to point out something very interesting over here. This is not a statement about high rates of infant. I mean, this is not necessarily saying that women give birth to living babies. What it's saying is that halacha lemaisa, women give birth to fully formed fetuses. That we assume that whatever she gave birth to ultimately, again, was a fetus, and therefore, halacha lemaisa, she observes the halachos of leida. Because as we've seen already, it doesn't have to be a living baby in order for a woman to observe the halachos of leida and to bring a karban. So the majority of women, vlad ma'ayi yiladim, give birth to a regular baby, a viable baby. So the Gemara says, okay, tanan, what about our Mishnah? En yadua im vlad haya, if ultimately, again, a woman, so we'll say, remember, this is a problem, because what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah's quoted a case where a woman expels something and she doesn't know that it was a vlad. Right, she doesn't know, was it a vlad or what, is it something else? So what does the Mishnah say? She has to observe Hilchos Leida and Hilchos Nida. But I don't understand. So what does the Mishnah say? Teishliv Zachar Nekevin Nida. Am I Teishliv Nida? Why does she have to observe Nida? Lema Halach Acharov Nashim. Verov Nashim Vlad Ma'alya Yiladan. You just said something very important. You just espoused the rove. The rove is the majority of women give birth to a regular baby. So in this case over here, where you say that she doesn't know, did she expel a baby or a fetus or something else? So I don't understand. Why don't you say the rove? The rove is she expelled a fetus. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, she shouldn't have to observe nida, just halachos of leida. So Rish Gemara says, I will say a very fundamental distinction. Mas nisin, b'shalahuchsaka ubra, v'chikam rabishom alevi, b'shalahuchsaka ubra. I will say, here's very simple. The Mishnah is dealing with a case of a woman who does not have a chazak of being pregnant, which means what? She's in the first 3 months of potential pregnancy. In that time, we don't say huchsaka obra, she doesn't have a chazak of being pregnant. So we'll say in that case, when she expels something and she's not sure what she expels, she doesn't have the rov. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's statement is talking about a woman who we know is pregnant. She is pregnant. There's a chazaka that she is pregnant. In that case, halacha lemaisa, when she expels something, but she doesn't know what she expelled, right? She walked into the river, expelled it in the river, and the river washed it away. Then we apply the rov, that rov nashim vlad ma'alya, that most women give birth to a viable, to a fully formed fetus, and therefore halacha lemaisa, she observes the halachos of leida. Tashmas, so we'll say, going with this chazaka, let's listen to this. If you have an animal that went out to the field pregnant and came out empty. Empty means the animal gave birth. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Habo acharav b'chor misafek. So it's interesting enough. Now the problem is, we did not see the birth, right? We don't know what happened over here. All I know is that, you know, my animal went out to the field pregnant in the morning and came back having birthed in the afternoon. So what does the Mishnah say? So does the Braisa say? The animal that comes after it is going to be a Bechor Behema Misafek. Says the Gemara, why? Va'amai. Halach achar ro behemos vlad ma'alya yiladan. Well, so why don't we say the majority of animals ultimately, again, give birth to offspring, very healthy, normal offspring. So if that's the case, apply the rov, and therefore the animal that comes after it should not be a bechar at all. To which the Gemara says, v'amayu yiladan v'hai pasha tu, and therefore the second animal that comes out will be a simple pasha, which means a non-bechar. Amravina mishum di'ikal ne'emar rov behemos yodos davar apoter me'bechora. Supposed to listen to this. Because even though there's a rov, there's also a miut. The rov, the majority of animals, give birth to the type of animal that would exempt its next offspring from bechora. But a miut, right, a minority of animals, go ahead and give birth to something that is considered to essentially be a non-birth, and therefore would not exempt the next animal from bechora. Now watch this. There's another piece. V'chalayoldos metanfos. We'll say apparently in the world of animals, so an animal goes ahead and before it gives birth, it has some type of discharge. Rashi says yom echad kodem leido. Right? Before animals give birth, the day before they give birth, they have some type of discharge the day before. And what happens? V'zu hoyo v'lo tinfa. This particular animal in question did not have the discharge yesterday. Therefore, isla leruba. So we'll say, which I have over here is as follows. It's actually quite fascinating. I have a rov that says majority of animals give birth to healthy offspring. Good. I have a miut that says minority of animals do not give birth to viable type of offspring. Plus, normally animals go ahead and emit a discharge the day before they give birth. This animal did not emit the discharge. So take the fact that the animal didn't emit the discharge, together with what? Together with the miut that says that animals give birth to something that is not viable and would not exempt subsequent offspring from bechora. And because I don't know what happened, therefore what? The second animal that is born will be a bechor misafek. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, ikol yodos metanfos. If that's the case, that when all animals give birth, normally they have some type of discharge. We'll say if this animal didn't emit a discharge, that means that what? There wasn't a birth. And if there wasn't a birth, then the subsequent animal that's born shouldn't just be a bechor misafek, but should be a legitimate bechor. Ela ima rov yoldos metanfos. Rather say the majority of animals emit some type of discharge. Vezu hoyo v'lo tinfa, and since this animal did not emit the discharge, Israeli ruba. Supposed to say, so essentially what you have over here is you have two mutes that come together and go ahead and erode the rove. So I have a rove that says majority of animals give birth normally. A mute that minority do not. Rove animals go ahead and emit the discharge. Mute do not. This animal in question over here didn't emit a discharge, and I don't know what happened with the birth. So the two miyots ultimately, again, can erode the rove that says majority of animals give birth to viable offspring, and therefore the second offspring that comes will be a bechor misafek. Kiyasa Rabin Amar Maser Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Supposed to listen to this. So when Rabin came along, he said as follows, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina raised, Maser Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, Toa, Velo yedana maiti yufta. Right? Ultimately, again, he brought up a question from this case of Toa. Rabbi said the case of Toa, of a woman who made a mistake, or you know, we'll call it made a mistake. Ultimately, actually, look at Rashi. Toa, mastisa demari beisha Toa, shelo yada eis leidasa. He raised the question from the Brice, Rabbi said, a woman who comes before us, who knows that she gave birth, but doesn't know when she gave birth. So circumstances occurred, whatever the metzias is. She knows she had a birth. She doesn't know when the birth occurred. So we'll say, so Rabban comes along and says, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina brought a shayla, brought a question from this Mishnah of the case of Toa, the woman who was unsure about when she gave birth. But I don't know what his question was. Okay, so before we get to the question and what it was and what it wasn't, let's talk about the Braisa. Maihi. What's the case of the woman who's Toa? Here we go. Disanya, Amud Beis. Isha Shiyata Samaleya, both say interesting case. A woman, when she quote unquote left us, she was pregnant. Ubasa Rekanis. And she comes back empty, which means she miscarried. She miscarried. Look at Rashi. Haisha Shiyat Samaleya Bakhazar Rekanis. Lusov Zman Meruba. The Eno Yodas Emas Yatse Heriona. So I say here's what she knows. She lost the pregnancy. She does not know when she lost the pregnancy. Okay. What does she know? So I'll say what she does know is as follows. She knows that for three weeks, she was totally tahor, right? For 3 weeks, she had no bleeding. Va'asara shavuos. Then she had 10 subsequent weeks, right? 10 weeks. Echad tamei, ve'echad tahor. So I'll say, okay, get ready for this, right? She has 10 weeks, and they were alternating weeks. Out of those 10, 1 week she bled, 1 week she didn't bleed, 1 week she bled, so on and so forth throughout the entire 3 weeks. Look at Rashi just a moment. Kilomar, Misheba lefanenu, Yashva la shlosha shavuin tahorin. Mikol vakol. She came to us with 3 weeks in which she had absolutely no bleeding. Mikol vakol. So the Gemara, Mikol vakol, im yom boa, velo dak kulehai. The yom zes safek, the shema rasa boba yom, kodim shavasa lefaninu. Afilach, ikar leitar. Fine, so we'll say, so what happens? So she has three weeks in which she did not see any dam, but she had 10 weeks of alternating bleeding, right? 1 week she bled, 1 week she didn't bleed. So we'll say, so now, what's our shayla? What do we do over here? In other words, Rabbi says, we're going to see, essentially, we're going to do this a little bit quickly because of time, but Lamaisa, what we're going to see is, we have to treat her with all the possible calendrical variations. So watch this. So says the Gemara, here we go. So Mishamesh has la'or shloshim v'chamish, so she could be with her husband on the 35th day. Umat bilin osa tishim v'chamish tevilos Rebbe Shammai. Rebbe Shammai says, she has to go to the mikvah 95 times. Now, we'll see exactly where Beis Shammai gets 95 times. Some are going to see that. Beis Silo says, no, a little bit better. Shloshim v'chamish. Not 95 times, but rather what? 35 times. So we'll say, so you understand what's happening over here. Essentially, what's going to occur over here is as follows. Because we don't know what happened here, essentially what's going to end up happening, we'll say, is the perfect halachic storm. What we have over here is going to be every single potential variation of Leda, Nida, Zava. So that's what's happening, Rabbi says. So when you put this all together, Beis Shammai says, you might as well get a good membership at the mikvah. Because it's going to be, right, it's going to be 95 times Beis Hillel says. So let's go through the cases quickly. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, Daya Letila Shetei Bachana. So it goes like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Baruch Hashem, and says, no, she just needs one immersion at the mikvah. At the end. In other words, there's going to be a point in time where we've exhausted all the possibilities. She'll go to the mikvah once at the end. So here we go. So we'll say for that first week of the 10, I understand that she can't be with her husband. Why? Ema yoledes zachari. Because maybe again, she gave birth to a boy. Yoledes zachar. Therefore, again, I'll say the halacha by yoledes zachar is that what? She's tamei for 7 days. Shavua sheni. She can't bring her husband the second week. Why? Ema yoledes nekevahi. Because maybe ultimately, again, she gave birth to an akiva, in which case she's tamei for 14 days. Shavua shlishi, the third week, emar yoledes nekeva bizofi. So we'll say she can't be with her husband the third week. Why? Because maybe she gave birth to a girl, but she gave birth in a state of ziva. We'll say we saw this situation where a woman, let's say, has prolonged labor during the days where, technically speaking, she could contract tumas zivos, she could become a zavagidola, in which case she would have 2 weeks for tumas leida of a nekeva, and then an additional week for zava. Ella shavu ravi, we'll say, but again, on that fourth week, afal gav dekachaz yadam teshamish. We'll say the fourth week, the truth is, there's no real possibilities. For the fourth week, she should be in the clear for tumas leida of a zachar, tumas leida of a nekeva, and even tumas leida of a nekeva bezov. So she should be with her husband, the ha tarhu, because ultimately, again, she's tar. Lav mishum deloaz linan basaruba. It must be, what Rabbi say, must be, that we don't go basaruba. And Rabbi say, what is Rabbi say? This is the kasha. Remember again, we were just raising before that, don't we follow the rove? It would appear that maybe we don't go after the road. What does that mean? Take a quick look at Rashi. Rashi says again, it's in the wide lines of Rashi, five lines in. Lav mishum de lo azlinan basaruba umisapkinon le below vlad veles le dam tor. Bosai, maybe there's another possibility. By the way, what's the other possibility, Bosai? The other possibility is she did not have a viable birth. If she didn't have a viable birth, then what? There's no dam toar. If there's no dam toar, then all I have is what? Dam nida or dam zava. So you see from here, I will say, even though we know this woman was pregnant, she comes back, quote unquote, not pregnant. But maybe we don't follow the rule. We say that maybe she didn't have a baby or she didn't have a viable birth. Elamai. So the Gemara says, Elamai lo yadana mai tiyufta. So I say, so what does it mean ultimately when he says, remember, it was going back before, that Rabbi Hanina said, I don't know what the tiyufta is, I don't know what the kash is. Here it is. So the Gemara says, Ema herchika leidasa. Because maybe what's the issue? Maybe the Shabbos says herchika leidasa. If you look at Rashi, Ema herchika leidasa. Hai delo yabina le yimei toar. La mishum safik de la vlatu ela ema har yamim rabim. So maybe the issue over here is the reason we won't give her Yemei Toar is because I will say maybe she has already given birth long before she's coming to us. So therefore, maybe even if there would be Dam Toar, that period of Dam Toar has long gone. That's why we can't give her Dam Toar. To which the Gemara says, so what about the fifth week? The fifth week, she also should be definitively tar, she should be able to be with her husband. Hach shavo revi, kol yom av yom mesapkina le besof leida, u betchilas leida. Because I will say, why doesn't that work? Because lemaisa, the fourth week, ultimately, again, each and every day of that week, we'll have to give her the suffix as either being at the end of a leida process or the beginning of a nida process. Vitamnia gufe, ema tchilas nidahi, ubay le mesav. I'm sorry, lost the place. The Essen Vitamnia Gufe, Ema Trilas Nidahi, Ubaila Mesa Shivla Nidas, and on the 28th day, let's say ultimately again that becomes the beginning of her Nida cycle, and therefore she should have to sit seven days for Nida. The Essen Vichate Shamish, ultimately again, but on the 21st day, so we're just going through all the possible variations. On the 21st day, she should be permitted to be with her husband. Rabbi Shimonhi, Damar Asra Lasos Kane, Shema Taval Lide Safek. Rabbi Shimon says, you can't do that. Ultimately, why? You can't allow her to be with her husband on the 21st day. Because ultimately, again, maybe she will come to a suffix. Rabbi say, what's the issue over here? Because the issue is, halacha lemaisa, if it turns out that we allow her to be with her husband, Rashi says, and she sees dam after bia, if it turns out that retroactively, that sighting of dam could undo all of the previous clean days, and it turns out that her husband was then bo'al l'nida, la'arta teshamish, so let her be with her husband that evening. Kisherasa be'erev. Ultimately, the case would be that halacha lamaisa, she saw in the evening. Umakbilin osa tishim v'chamish tevilos. So we'll say, so now, the Braisa said that halacha lamaisa, we'll go ahead, Beisham, I said, we'll make her go to the mikvah 95 times. So the Gemara says, Shavua kama, in the first week, matbilin osa beledusa. We go ahead and make her go to the mikvah in the evenings. Ima yoledes zachari. Maybe she gave birth to a boy. Shavua sheni matbilin osa beledusa. The second week, we'll make her go to the mikvah at night. Ima yoledes nekevahi. Biyamama, emar yoledes zachar bezofi. By day, we'll say, maybe, the second week, by day, maybe she gave birth to a boy, but in the case of Zav, Shavu Ashlishi Makbilinosa Biyamam. On the third week, she'll go to the mikvah by day. Emar Yoledes Nekeva Bezofi. Maybe she gave birth to a girl, but in a state of Zivus. Belelusa. What about at night? By Shammai Tanayu de Amru Tevulas Yom Aruch. By Tevila, Beis Shammai goes according to his opinion, who holds that Rabbosei ultimately again a Tevulas Yom Arach, which Rabbosei means a Tevul Yom. Tevul Yom means someone who's gone to the mikvah, but ultimately again still requires Herav Shemesh. Herav Shemesh. So interestingly enough, Beis Shammai will say that Halacha Lamaisa, this whole situation is considered to be like one long Tevul Yom, and Beis Shammai is of the opinion that even one long protracted Tevul Yom ultimately still requires a tevila. Alright, so let's stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with the 95 tevilos of Beis Shammai. Emirat Hashem tomorrow.